Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But what's Alex's last name again? I keep
Hitz.
Writing it down. And
Hitz.
What?
Hitz. H-I-T-Z. Hitz.
H-I-T-Z. No wonder I couldn't remember it.
It's, hit somebody, but...
Well, no, indeed, certainly not.
I wanted to make sure. Listen, yeah. I just wanted to clarify, because Sal and Alex are still with us. Y'all, we're not trying to be controversial, but I think that these are good conversations to have. So, I wanted to just wrap up the conversation about like how to acknowledge if someone has a special condition when they're eating that. That you need to take consideration of, but also to acknowledge that the world does not revolve around you when you are the guest in somebody's home. So I didn't mean to put two forces against each other, but we can move on from that topic.
All right, let's do. And 260-6368 is our number.
So Sal, what else do you like about the whole entertaining aspect of doing dinner in your home?
Actually, just to serve and to watch people enjoy themselves and to have a good time and to share that the art and the gift that we, my wife and I feel like we're blessed with, so we want to share that with others. And I do want to apologize to Alex and say that I didn't mean to be confrontational at all. I just was wanting to offer a different perspective, as Alex said. So anyway,
thank you.
Some of the things that Lacey and I love to cook when people come over. One of her favorite things to do is she does a fabulous cocoa van and carrot cake.
Now you're talking. That's real food there.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Two of the things that I like to do are roasted prime rib roast and veal or chicken piccata. We really enjoy doing that.
But, Sal, I want to come to eat at your house.
Me too.
You should. And one of the things that I really enjoyed hearing Alex say is smile, have a good time, relax. And I think one of the ways you do that is just by being prepared and knowing exactly what you're going to do, knowing that you've done it before, and knowing that people that have come over and have eaten this before have loved it. So it's a good chance that people are going to be happy at that time as well.
If they're not, I think it's time to get some new guests.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, what do you say about drinks before dinner, or do you normally prepare munchies while you're cooking something that is going to be served hot, or do you just say just come on over at any time and just hang out, talk while you're cooking? Do you prepare little munchies before dinner for things like that?
I never serve hors d'oeuvres. I mean, I've served some nuts or something, like that. I never do. A lot of people love them. I just don't. Yeah. So I don't serve them. And I just think they take away from the main event, which is the dinner.
Sometimes it is the main event.
Past cocktail party, sure. But normally for dinner, I do not serve hors d'oeuvres.
Now, that's an interesting point of view. It's interesting. Why? What moved you to do that? Because that's not something I'd expect. I'm sure it works out great.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd like to know more about that, too.
Done it both ways, and I find it, it's convenient sometimes, and sometimes it kind of gets in the way. But go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't, and it's just a personal preference. I'm not diametrically opposed to someone who does or doesn't. I just don't. I don't like them. I don't eat them when I go places. And, if I ever have a big group, I'll maybe serve one or two things passed around, but never a big thing, because I think Also, people tend to serve too many of them, and then the cocktail hour goes on too long. Also, see, I've got another rule about that, which is a cocktail hour can never be any longer than 45 minutes.
Yep. 45 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you feel like the feature, the focus, is when you're sitting down for dinner?
Yeah.
And that's like, well, so are you inviting people over, you know, what, no more than an hour before dinner's going to be served for drinks only?
Well, no, say I invite people for dinner at 8 o'clock, then I'll serve dinner at 8:45, you know, that's it. Or 7:30 for 8:15, you know, like that. But it's never more than an hour.
Okay. So what are people doing before they're sitting down for dinner if they're already over?
They're having a drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
I hope they're having, more than one.
I was going to say, we've juggled back and forth going with, you know, maybe some stuffed mushrooms or little finger foods like some rolled pancetta with cheese and olives. But and sometimes we don't do anything. But never have we ever hosted in where we didn't offer a drink as soon as people walked in the door.
Oh, yeah, but that's
I'm going to say thank you for taking my call. But today, I don't know if y'all are aware, but December 5th is the celebration of the anniversary of the Prohibition lifting in 1933.
True.
So for us to talk about having a cocktail, I think I'm going to go celebrate and have one myself.
Yes,
in a
me
while.
As well.
That
and
sounds
in fact,
like a great idea.
You know what? I think. Thank you so much, Sal, for calling in, and I appreciate you bringing the point up, because I think I like having good conversations like that, you know, on the show to bring different perspectives. So I appreciate you bringing that to us, Sal.
Absolutely.
Alex, I think you handled it graciously, and I think it's okay to have differences opinions.
Sure.
And I really like.
But I don't really think we had that difference of opinion. I mean, if somebody's got a
let's move on. This is a program about food and restaurants and cooking and wine and you know, all of that.
Okay.
Alex belaboring the point here.
Well, I wanted to do a good send off for you, Alex.
I'm coming
to New Orleans. I'm gonna be at the Beauregard Keys house in January. I'm signing my book there. So come. Please come.
Oh, awesome. I'll try.
Yeah.
Give me that address where you'll be appearing, because the book is really interesting to me. I think it's a great idea. Is this going to be?
Beauregard Keys House in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a historic house, and I'll tell you the address here in a second. And it's a lecture and book signing in early January. I believe it's the 9th of January, actually. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have another show between now and then, and maybe we can talk to you some more.
Tell us a good holiday drink, Alex, before you go.
Champagne is the best one.
Okay, there you go.
I agree with you. Totally agree with you, because everybody loves champagne.
Absolutely.
And if you ever, to the point where if you want to give a gift of wine to anybody you know, and if you don't know a lot about wine, you feel uncertain about you always go with the champagne, because everybody loves it. Even the real connoisseurs, they always go for it. Everybody's happy to see champagne or something like champagne.
It makes everything feel festive, right?
It certainly does. I mean, just. It's one of those things.
Well, if I had a glass, I'd toast to you, Alex, and we'll see you in January. And thank you so much for talking with us today. And I appreciate the graciousness as our fumbling at the beginning of the show, and that's on me. But I loved talking with you. I can't wait to dive deeper into this book. And again, everybody, it's The Art of the Host, and it's all tips and tricks for putting on the perfect A-list event. Thank you so much,
great
Alex.
Idea.
Have a great evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You know, someone just a couple of moments ago brought up the subject of drinking and going to parties and such as this. And it's a funny thing. It's amazing that the person, I forget who it was that I was talking to, brought up actually something that I wrote an article about today. So listen to this, if I may throw this onto the show here.
Yes.
At 4:32 p.m. on this date in 1933, Utah, of all states, ratified the 21st Amendment to the Constitution, which repealed the 18th Amendment, and therefore ended 14 years of prohibition. We could lift a glass legally again, but not so fast. One of the provisions of the new amendment was that the states and localities could continue to make their own laws concerning all of this stuff, all the alcoholic beverages. And out of that came the impossible hodgepodge of local and states rulings. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, wait a minute, Tom. Are you telling me that prohibition lasted for 14 years?
I'm afraid so.
What were people doing for 14? I mean, they were drinking illegally.
Crying,
that's what they were doing.
Probably. But anyway, out of that came that all of these different rules. I mean, to this day, I'm not sure on this. I'd have to check this out. But it used to be the state of Philadelphia, Philly. It's not Philly, the state. Anyway, that state, you bought all of the booze you wanted through a network that was actually owned by the state. I don't think that is that way, but that's the way it used to be. And then by Louisiana law, a restaurant has to pay for deliveries of beer in cash. I mean, it's just a law that was in Louisiana. And they had a few more. Prohibition, it exacted its own costs. But anyway, the closing of much of the American wine business was a result of that happening, because all of these great wines that they were making in California and other places, it all went away because of the onset of alcoholic beverage regulations. But anyway, it all went away and operated more or less by the Utah guys. But anyway.
So that's where it started.
That's where it started on its way back. Anyway, that's when the first state to come in and say, yeah, we're on or we're off, I guess, depending on how you look at it.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think we're getting ready to run into another break, but I'd like to talk more about that since today is the day.
It is the day.
Okay, good. All right, we have a few minutes. All right, Tom. So last time you and I got into quite the interesting conversation about vodka. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Taste, no aroma, no nothing. Everybody loves it.
But yet I countered it with like 10 or 12 drinks that are delicious with vodka. And yet I did not convince you.
No.
Okay. I mean, so I don't want to talk about vodka.
Okay.
I want to talk about whiskey.
Let's do it.
So, you know, we'll eventually run into a break, but this is where we're going to pick up.
Shape.
So if you're not much of a whiskey drinker, is that right?
Oh, not true at all. One of my favorite drinks. I have many favorite drinks. But it has been said, as a matter of fact, somebody put out a book within the last couple of years that talked about the Manhattan, which is
I knew you liked Manhattans. I knew you liked that drink, yeah. But I didn't know if you were a whiskey drinker. Yeah,
but that's whiskey. That's made with whiskey. If you do a cheap version of it, what you really want is to do it with you want, instead of just a straight whiskey, the best thing of all is rye whiskey, actually. And when you have rye and a little bit of a little bit of whiskey and even a little bit of a couple other things out of
in the mixer,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then you've got a Manhattan. I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island too. Okay, so, that's enough of that.
Okay, so Tom, then, if you like whiskey, what other whiskey drinks do you like besides a Manhattan? And what you like the half and half. Which, what's the difference between a half and half and a Manhattan?
Well, neither one of them is in. It's made with. I'm drawing a blank on a word here that's giving me trouble. It's I can't think of the
name.
Well,
that's okay.
Of it.
It'll come to you.
It'll come to me in a minute.
So what are your whiskey preferences then, or whiskey preference drinks besides a Manhattan?
Well, there are lots and lots of things that you can do with it. It's almost, I don't know where the end of it is. I'm always looking to try new things.
I'll tell you my favorite one.
Oh, please do.
Mint julep.
Mint juleps are wonderful because, first of all, they take a little work to be done. It helps if you had one of those metal mixers to shake it in. And it has an aroma all of its own, too. It's unique to the United States. It's not something you see particularly in Europe or even in the rest of the United States, for that matter. It's
whiskey.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about whiskey and our favorite whiskey drinks to honor this day when we get back from break.
Don't ask me, I won't dance. Don't ask me, I won't dance, madame, with you. Hi, it's the food show. I finally thought of the ingredients in the half and half that we were talking about.
Yes.
It's vermouth. But vermouth has two major forms. One of them is a red version. They're both wine.
But one is sweet and one is savory.
One of them is sweet.
Right?
That's the red kind of dark colored one. And then there's another one that's kind of pale green, and it's lighter and it's dry. And when you make one of what we were talking about there a second, Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Well, Manhattan does use a little bit.
It has a sweet vermouth, like a little.
Yeah, sweet vermouth. Or you know, if you wanted to, you could make it with both of them. I've seen that done. And then the let's see, what's the
half and half.
The half and half is what, half of each. I mean, it's as simple as that. And on the rocks.
A half of each of the vermouths. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. And
you
just with the ice, and you shake it up, and you serve it like that. It's a great taste. It reminds me a lot of a Manhattan, though, but it's lighter and less alcohol. Also, that one has a way of. Now, there's another one that has become very popular lately. It was popular with me, and once again, because we've had such an agitated show today. And everything else was a little agitated, too. There's a favorite drink of mine involving a drink that I like because it involved a girlfriend of mine from a long, long time ago.
Tom, let's tell the story to our caller, Pat, who is
okay.
here.
Pat, welcome to the food show.
Hi, Tom. How you all doing?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Well, we're just warping around, keeping it all straight.
Okay. You want to finish the story? You can.
No, it's not as good as it sounds. I'm off my balance today.
Okay. We are going. My guy Tiala is graduating from Southeastern next Saturday.
Congratulations.
And we're going to Jacques Mel's. Thank you.
Yeah?
We're going to Jacques Mel's for lunch.
And great place.
Great place. I've heard you talk about it before. I used to live in New Orleans. I live in Fairhope, Alabama now. But
yeah.
We're going back. We're going to stay overnight at my sister-in-law's, so forth and so on. But I just wanted to know what you might suggest we get over there.
I don't get there for lunch very much. I do go there every couple of months or so for dinner. But I can tell you a lot about it. It has a pretty much a Creole menu. There are good seafood, good grilled seafood. They are pretty sharp on that. Once you get into the second part of the menu, you'll run into really good steaks. That's something that's always been on their menu as a specialty. It's the kind of steak, though, that you might want to split with somebody else. I mean, lunchtime, unless you really are eating a nice big thick steak, it's perfect for that.
Yeah, well, I got to kind of watch what I'm eating.
Okay, I know the feeling.
That would be a good idea to maybe to split it with my wife. If they might have a petite filet, I could look at that.
Yeah. By the way, if you ever have to divide it between two people and you are going to split it up that way, do it at the table. Don't let them do it in the back. When they cut it in the back, it's always going to be overcooked and dried out to me. That's my experience with it anyhow.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right, we'll do that.
Just get the same steak cut into two pieces, and then it'll come out a lot better. Same price, maybe even cheaper. Yeah.
Okay.
Pat, well, how long are you going to be here? Do you need suggestions for other places?
We're actually going back Sunday. We're coming back to Fairhope on Sunday. But we'll probably go to breakfast in Hammond, you know, with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law after Mass. So if you got a suggestion for that.
Over in Hammond? Tom, have you been over there lately to eat?
Not lately. The last time I was there was at the place we were talking about, Jacmel. But again, I tell you, it's something I don't get to a whole lot because Hammond is a long drive from New Orleans and from the North Shore, for that matter. And so it's hard to give the kind of coverage that I would for a local restaurant.
Sure. Hey, Pat, I'm curious about something.
Yeah?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. How's the food scene in Fairhope? I mean, there are plenty of New Orleanians here that drive and pass through there to go to the beach, myself included. How's the food scene going on over there?
Good question, and the same answer, I'm afraid. It's all I can do to cover the New Orleans dining scene.
And, no,
what? I'm asking Pat.
Me,
asking you. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Me, please, into the Doug gutter, and we'll... and I'll look foolish for you, and you can do the rest of this.
No worries.
Oh, no, no. I must now give you my fare thee well. Or no, wait a minute. What am I talking about? Okay.
Tell us, Pat.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
How's
the
food scene?
Okay. It's great. It really is great. We, we've been to, I know, Tom, you had a e-club dinner or lunch at the Fairhope Inn, and it is now reopened.
Oh, yeah?
Which we were really glad to see. We're probably going to go there during the Christmas holidays. Mm. They're not open on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but we'll probably go that Sunday or one of those days. But, you know, they got a number of great restaurants here and in Daphne, which is Metairie to New Orleans.
What types of restaurants? More seafood or are they steakhouses? What kind of restaurants do you like over there?
The steak, there's no real, you know, like standalone steakhouse like Chris's, but they have a restaurant called Gambino's, and the steaks over there, but their steaks are incredible. And they just opened a seafood restaurant on the pier, and I apologize, I don't remember the name of it, but people have been raving about it. There's a couple of poor boy restaurants that are really good. I'm not going to say they're a Paul
Go
Boy
ahead.
Tavern, but they're pretty good.
Well, you know, the cuisine all along the Gulf Coast, it's amazing not only how good it is, because there's no question about that, but after the hurricanes, including the more recent ones, and certainly Katrina, it's incredible how those people came back with their restaurants, and they were in full swing, ready to go. I mean, it was amazing. We did a book signing for my cookbook some years over there, and it was like maybe 2 months after Katrina, and it was like everything was wonderful.
Day and night to New Orleans.
They're terrific people.
Yeah, I really love to see the restaurants. You know, we get down to Orange Beach in that area, and we pass through Fairhope, and it's really been incredible in the last decade to see all the different shops and restaurants and boutiques and everything coming back. That really is what Fairhope was so spectacular for. I mean, it's a quaint, cozy, small town that I love to stay in and visit on the way to the beach. So I was very curious about, just the restaurants and the food scene in general and how it's doing over there.
I wish my wife were here because she would be giving you ideas right and left.
Oh, they got a restaurant. It's a 90% French restaurant called Or Bistro.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's it called?
Or Bistro.
Okay.
Raymond. That's really good, and the people down here are just just great. I mean, we're just loving every minute of it. I wish our house was completed, but that won't be until the end of March.
So did you used to live in New Orleans, Pat?
I lived in New Orleans for 69 years, and we moved in July.
Oh, wow. And, so like your vacation home, is that your...
No, this is going to be our permanent home, and we're just enjoying the heck out of it. Family's not too happy, but...
I think that's a great area, and you're not far away.
No, it's only 2.5 hours. We've been back like 10 times since July, and we're coming back this weekend for the weekend, and then my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are coming over Christmas afternoon to have Christmas with us. But it's been we loving every minute of it.
And it sounds great.
Yeah, but I know you probably have other callers, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you
Pat. Thank you very much. And now that we have this short break here, I finally have the answer to something you asked me a couple of minutes ago.
Yes, sir.
That was like something else made with vermouth.
Yes.
And it's a drink that I really love, but I don't drink it very often because it's on the alcoholic side a little much. And I can, one and that's it for the day.
Right.
Anyway, it's called a Negroni. N-E-G-R-O-N-I. Negroni. And a Negroni starts off with gin, simple enough, and then it has a unique liqueur that supplies the most of the flavor of it. It's called Campari.
Mm-hmm.
And mix this.
And tell us what the flavor of Campari is.
Campari, it's an herbal kind of a flavor, and also has this tangy, like, something that would have come out of a little bottle that you're seasoning up for Lord knows what. I mean, it's utterly unique. I don't know anything that's quite like it. Campari, some people like it just all by itself, and so do I, but a lot of people can't stand the taste of it, so you have to be careful about who likes it.
Okay, so I feel like that's kind of, you remember how our conversation with vodka was that I basically, stood on the grounds that it was versatile.
Yeah,
I felt like it was very versatile, and that's what I liked so much. You could adapt it to a lot of different drinks.
Okay, well, just make it with, instead of with gin, make it with vodka.
Right. Well, so I think that whiskey, for me, doesn't have as much versatility.
Hmm? Yeah.
And so I guess that's how I feel about whiskey, but I love any whiskeys made with orange peels, which is what you're talking about. So
yeah,
I love Negronis.
That's a Negroni. Yeah.
And I love them made with herbs, which is why I love the mint juleps so much.
Well, there you are. You this is your life. I mean, this is...
Living it through alcohol.
You just take it easy. That's all.
So what about... Oh, Ron, are we getting ready to run into our break?
No, we're all right.
Okay. Yeah. What about the Vucare, Tom?
The who?
It's a drink. It's like a drink known around New Orleans.
And it's called what?
A Vucare.
Vucare.
Yes. Like the straight name.
Straight name?
Vucare.
Oh, Vucare. That's a famous drink that's actually sold by one particular bar. I'll be darned if I can tell you who it is. I think it's the carousel at the Monteleone Hotel. I think that's where they make that. It's a very popular drink, but I just off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. I'll bet you there's somebody listening who knows that.
Well, so it's rye whiskey.
Yeah.
Cognac.
Yeah.
And sweet vermouth.
Well, there you go. You have a lot of different liqueurs in there. Well, now the break has come, and we'll be back with more of it anyway after we pause for a moment or two on WWL 105.3 FM HD2. Hello, welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's nice to be here with you today talking about food, about restaurants, about cooking, about wine, and a whole bunch of other things. Allie Lofton, did I get it this time?
Lofton.
Lofton. But I will get this one of these days.
That's
I don't know
right.
why this is. The question you asked me right before we went away, what was that anyway? It was
Vieux-Carré.
Yeah,
we were talking
the
about
the Vieux-Carré cocktail.
Yes.
And I'm almost positive that this is something that one particular bar, and I think it was a hotel bar, invented. But I can't think of which it is. I looked in a couple of my books here. I have about 300 books in here. And I just couldn't put my hand on it that quickly. But I bet you somebody listening to us knows the answer to that. So
well, I hope they call in and tell us. But in the meantime, I'm not trying to like say that I don't love whiskey, because I do. But like, I feel like I need more help in finding some creative drinks with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Okay, Sazerac.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different Sazeracs out there. And it is gin. Not gin. There's a lot of ways you can make that, but I ain't one of them. let's see. The main ingredients.
It's made with cognac and rye whiskey, right?
The cognac in that's the classic format is doing it with that. But probably the classic ingredient is actually what we were talking about a few minutes ago. It's the rye whiskey.
Yeah.
That's absolutely essential. Rye whiskey to make a Sazerac.
Tom, we've got quite the callers today. And we've got one of my favorite on. And I think he has more information for us on this Vieux-Carré.
Oh,
and it's
well, let's
Alan.
Hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there. Welcome.
Hi. Good talking to you both. I've been enjoying the show.
Good.
Tom,
thank you.
So, yeah, you're right. The Vieux-Carré cocktail was invented at the Montlion Carousel Bar.
I just took a guess at that, and I got it right. Wow.
Okay.
I can't
Thank
believe
you
it.
For yeah. bringing us the answers, Alan.
Sure. And also, you know, when you mentioned vodka being, you know, that's always my go-to. And like Tom mentioned, any drink with that's typically served with gin. Of course, you know, I think of the martini. That's great with vodka. But, yeah, I remember the last time you brought that up, and I think Doug was saying or somebody poo-pooed the fact that vodka was so versatile. But yeah,
we were having fun with it. Well, so what do you like? What's your whiskey drink preference?
That's just it. I knew that it was invented at the Montlion because practically grew up in the Montlion. Whenever my folks would have a staycation, they would always go to the Montlion. My mom had a friend from Germany that worked there, and we always got a good price on a room when we would spend weekends.
Well, if
there,
you're going to get a room anywhere, you'd get a room there.
Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, that was the night we got married at the Muriel's, my wife and I, we spent the weekend there at the Montlion before we took off on a little mini honeymoon. But anyway, so yeah, I'm not really a whiskey drinker, but vodka is, yeah.
It's, so how are you going to, what's the drink you're going to celebrate the repeal of Prohibition Day?
A Bloody Mary.
A Bloody Mary.
That's a good line. I like it. Nice. That's a perfect line to answer that question. Brilliant, really.
Tom, I thought you'd like that. I thought you'd like that, and I appreciate you you appreciating that. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways,
well, thanks for stopping in.
Sure. Yes, indeed. I always enjoy it.
Thanks,
you so
Alan.
Much.
Thank you.
And Tom, we're rolling right on to the next one. Say hello to Stephen.
Stephen.
Hello.
Come on in.
How are you, Stephen?
Good. Good. My mother's family was French, and we didn't get hurt by the Depression, and we gave President, even though we were Republicans, we gave President Roosevelt $10 million for his campaign, and another $10 million to go around, or open a nonprofit going around telling the country how bad Prohibition had been, so that we could get Prohibition rid of.
Wait a minute. What's the story back up?
My family spent $20 million helping prohibition to be repealed. And not that we were in the liquor business, but we were French, and we liked to drink wine.
And you wanted your wine back.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Right? Yeah. So what's your favorite wine to drink, then? Are you going to be drinking wine?
I don't drink.
Oh, you don't drink.
And
that's
believe
right.
Believe it or not, my mother and my grandfather were not drinkers.
But they gave money for the...
So it was a generation before they gave all this money for the governors. He was a governor then, to eliminate prohibition.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You're always full of fascinating pieces of history, Stephen.
Yeah. And I will tell you, when my grandmother died, she left me her silver. And it was 24 place settings of Fabergé. Or not Fabergé, but Kirk. Represé by Kirk. With all the servings and all the, I mean, there were like five forks and four spoons. And
do you pull it out for your, wait, didn't you just have a big one? What'd you do for your big, did you have it for your big Thanksgiving?
No, because you realize that the cost of sterling silver these days, that it would disappear. So you almost have to have metal detectors out when it's used.
Okay, so you keep it to yourself and keep it nice. Okay, I understand.
But I mean, I use it every day myself, and my mother believed, and so did my grandmother, that you should use silver every day because otherwise it tarnishes so much. Mm-hmm. And the only time many people use their good silver is during holidays, and then they have to polish it before they can use it. But if you use it every day, it doesn't tarnish.
That is correct. Well, very good. So, do you have, curious, so if you don't drink, but your family did throw big dinner parties, give me one dinner etiquette tip that you like to follow. You're not using your good silver, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't remember any. And the big dinner parties were at my uncle's, and they would have 100 people for dinner. They had 100. They had a dining room table that would seat 100 people.
But you don't remember any of the etiquette things you did?
No. And they had silver rooms in their house that were three stories high with elevators in them.
Imagine that.
This was a 69-room house on 650 acres. It was just one of the many houses.
Well, you certainly had enough room to entertain.
Yeah, that's where I used to – Mom used to drop me off in the kitchen when I was – 5 and 6 years old, and sit and watch the French chefs cook for the dinner parties.
That must have been something. If you like food, anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Okay. I left my telephone number for you to call. I've got some other stories to tell you that I can't tell you on air.
Okay. Allie. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Stephen. Have a great evening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Well, we're almost at the end of our program for today.
And
we're
Tom,
on the air
I'm interested
Monday
in knowing where you're going
I'm
to dinner
sorry.
Tonight. Hello? What happened to Tom?
It was just with a little twerk of smile in his face. He said that was me. I mean, are you still there?
I am. I lost you for a second, actually.
Oh, you did? Oh,
I did.
Sorry.
Yeah, so where you were going for dinner tonight, it just completely dropped your call for a second.
I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to dinner at all tonight. I had a pretty big lunch over at...
Tom, we are having the busiest show ever. Gregory is with us.
Is it? Gregory's here. Gregory is, we're always happy to see Gregory or hear from him.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom. Well, it's always good to hear you.
Good.
Hello, Allie.
Good
Allie.
Evening, Allie. Gregory.
Oh, boy, what a terrific show. I really enjoyed Alex's commentary and your questions. It was, as usual, spot on.
Yeah, I thought it was quite the interesting conversation, but I did like being able to jump onto this prohibition thing, and you're a big drinker over there, so I'm curious what you got.
My grandfather's brother, my great uncle Leo used to tell us stories, but he worked for Dixie Beer for years. I think it was like 40
Dixie's
years.
Back.
He's long gone now. Yeah, Dixie's back, but back in Prohibition, they had to shut the brewery down.
Mm-hmm.
So they started making soft drinks and this thing called near beer. They were allowed to make near beer, which was like less than 1% alcohol. But of course, I mean, everybody was on hard times.
Yeah, and then, yeah, that was a big bad deal.
The happiest day of his life was today in 1933 when it was repealed.
There you go. Yeah, that's why we reported on it.
He used to tell me stories about they couldn't wait to fill those barrels again. And back then they had draft horses that would take the kegs all around the city back then, you know. They had some trucks too, but they still had draft horses back then, believe it or not, going through the streets of New Orleans.
Okay, forgive me. All right, you know my age here, Gregory. What's a draft horse?
It looks like a big Clydesdale, you know how Budweiser has?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's a draft horse. There's Clydesdales particular to Scotland, but the draft horses, these were Belgian, and they almost look identical. They're just big, big, big horses, you know, made to pull heavy, heavy, heavy wagons and stuff. That was very interesting.
So what you drinking tonight, Gregory?
I'm going to have me let's see, I haven't decided yet. I still have some Beaujolais to open. No, I'm going to probably have me a Negroni because I like those too, Tom.
There you go. I was going to suggest it to you, but I had a feeling that you already would be suggesting it to yourself, which cleared pretty good.
I'm going to have a mint julep.
That's terrific, too, Allie. Don't forget to muddle that mint.
That's right. That's key.
The simple thing. Hey, Allie, I have a good report for you.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, it was Wednesday before Thanksgiving, rather. I saw your oyster shells selling pretty good at Rouse's.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I took a photo of myself holding up one of your sacks because I bought one as a gift. For my brother and my sister-in-law who live up in Virginia, but they still have access to pretty decent oysters up there in Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, so, that's for sure.
Excellent. I appreciate the support, Gregory. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Hey, can I break in here?
You know,
wait, guys. Give me a break here because we're getting to the end of the show and I have one sponsor that has not been put
in we absolutely
yet.
Have to do them.
Do have
Gotta
to do,
do
that.
It.
Our program is sponsored by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Let's start with the seafood first because I don't think it ever gets
hot fried seafood.
Hot fried seafood, but it's beyond hot. It's crisp. It's also greaseless, and it's golden brown, and this all sounds like a bunch of, just crazy.
Good food.
Yeah. Well, it is good food because they prepare it all to order. It's not taken out from under a heat lamp or anything like that. And they put it right in front of you, and it's good from the moment you start in because it is as fresh as it is. And it also, getting back to that golden brown thing, that's usually a good advertising line, but there's more to it than that because when the oil in a bubbling frying seafood lot, when it starts getting a little too dark, that's when the not so good comes in. They beat you to that over at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. And then moving back to the hamburgers, it's a simple matter of juicy in the middle, crusty on the outside, and everything made once again right there on the spot. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. There are 10 locations of them around town, and they also are now doing grilled oysters around town.
My favorite.
On the shell, you know, charcoaled oysters. All of this, 10 locations, New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. We have one more little thing to fit in here, so we'll be back after First Please This. I'm sorry to say, Allie Lufton.
Yes.
At last.
Got it, Tom.
I get it right. Did you enjoy our program today other than that 5-minute thing there that didn't
No, first of all, this just zipped by, and we had like 5 callers today, and it just felt like a whirlwind.
Amazing,
and I think Gregory's still with us, so I don't want to send Gregory off just cutting him off. So, Gregory, you got something else.
Thank you for saying, let me hang on. I don't mind. Hey, Allie, as long as you're on the air, I'm sticking around, crying out loud.
Oh, good. Ooh. Good. Well, Tom, what should we need to, we only have a few minutes left. What, you didn't say that you were going out to eat tonight. Gregory, what are you eating? What's everybody doing?
Well, what am I going to eat tonight? Well, it's really simple. Lasagna.
Can't go well with that.
I'm gonna start with that bracing Negroni because I like to savor them. I don't chug a lug them. So and then that maybe a little Chianti or a Beaujolais Nouveau with the lasagna.
I'm going to the new absinthe place tonight, Belle Epoque.
Where's that?
Off Bourbon.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Belle Epoque.
Belle Epoque.
The
golden days.
Beautiful era.
Yes, and so they have a new absinthe house. That's their bar. It's all around absinthe. I'm going to a holiday party there tonight, and they have a new chef. They have a new chef, and they just started serving dinner as well. Just within the last 2 months, they just opened. So that's where I'm headed tonight.
So it's on. It's just off Bourbon on what street? St. Peter, Toulouse, or what?
I don't know. I'm honestly going to have to look it up to tell you the truth. And I'll be reporting back to you all tomorrow to let you know how it is.
Oh, you're doing the show tomorrow,
you
too,
and
huh?
me, Tom.
You and mine?
I'm an absinthe guy myself, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm an absinthe person. I believe in the medicinal and the other effects of absinthe.
Absinthe, yes, indeed.
It had a bad rap for a while, but I think that's all been put
that
to
was
bed.
A bunch of malarkey. That was a bunch of misguided U.S. customs stuff. They had a fight with the French. That's all. Mm. True story.
Wouldn't
true
be the first time.
Yeah, no, they were having a fight. Anyway, they said it made people go insane or something. The Greek
fairy, I think people thought a lot of stuff back then. It's 240 Bourbon, and it's on the canal side.
I got to say this. WWL Radio in New Orleans, 105.3 FM HD2.
Thank you, Allie.
Good night, guys.
New Orleans. And that ends our program for today, but I just heard and just learned that I will be hosting it tomorrow as well as with Allie.
Yes, you and me, Tom.
It should be a great time, and I hope we're impressing our cohort in this, Marianne. Because, you know, that's her baby, this show. So
She's got another baby, Tom. I think it's you.
Oh, she's got
I think you're a sweetie.
You know, you say that, but she means it as if he's a baby.
No.
No, she does feel it. But you know what? The funny thing about that is that she's right. I am her baby. She takes baby-like care of me.
Well, she knows that you and I have a good time doing this, and we're always, you never know what you're going to get with Mr. Food and the Kooky Oyster Broad, right? So y'all will get round 2 of that another time.
Woo!
So I hope everybody had a great time enjoying the show. 105.3 FM HD2. Send us off, Tom.
There you go. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Good night.
Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.